So credit scores, they're not just about getting a loan anymore, which brings us back to our consumer conundrum this week. Are we prudently saving or prudently spending more to help the economy? And if there's borrowing involved, how is our credit? Our economics editor, Chris Farrell, is here. And it's something that Joy from Seattle, Washington, had a couple questions about. Hi, Joy. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Well, we're hanging in here. So what is the issue here? How's your credit?
My credit is in great shape. The problem is that my fiance's is in not so great shape.
How'd you find out about that?
We sat down and had a talk about our finances as we were kind of planning for our future together, and together pulled our credit reports and looked at our scores. The problem being mostly that he doesn't have any credit.
Oh.
He doesn't have any student loans. He doesn't have any auto loans. His kind of take on money is if you have it, you can spend it, but you don't spend more than you have.
Okay.
The problem being that to build your credit, you have to have credit. And if you have none, it's very hard to get any.
So, Chris Farrell, that is a role reversal. It's not that he has bad credit. It's that he's been so prudent that the financial system doesn't know whether to trust him or not.
Okay. I'm getting up on my soapbox for a moment. So here's somebody who doesn't spend more than he earns. And he's penalized for this in our system. We have this whole credit scoring machinery that's tied around borrowing. But we have nothing that says, well, you put $100 a month into your savings account. Bingo. You get a higher credit score. No, it doesn't even count. You paid your rent on time. Oh, well, I don't really care about that either. So it's such a bizarre situation that we're in that the people who are doing what we actually recommend week after week get penalized.
There has to be a way that in coming up with a credit profile that you get some brownie points for that kind of behavior. But at the moment, you typically don't.
You don't.
So what could Joy do? Get him a little credit card. He could pay it back every month.
We're doing that. The problem is that without really any credit, we got a Capital One secured credit card, which is great. It's a $200 limit. And while it is secured, $200 is, if that's your only credit, your utilization ratio doesn't work very well.
What sort of time frame are we talking about that this is actually going to matter?
Yeah, I mean, we do have time, but I feel like I tend to panic about things and get this feeling that the world's going to end if we don't take care of it right away. So we're planning on getting married probably next August or September. I own a condo that we would need to sell before we could purchase a home together. But, you know, if we were able to, we might be looking to do that next, you know, summer, late spring, summer.
Okay, so you got plenty of time on your side. I think you've actually done the right thing with the secured card. You typically don't want to exceed 30% of your credit limit. So he does that. He does it for about a year, and then he transfers into a traditional credit card.
Okay.
Now, Joy, you've been thinking about this as well, and you have a strategy that you wanted to try out on us. What is it?
Well, it's a suggestion from my mother. When I was in college and we were trying to build my credit, she added me, or I added her to my credit card or something in there. Her credit was really good, and so not long after that, the credit limit on my cards were being increased dramatically. So my mom suggested if we added him to one of my cards, would that show then on his credit report that he has, you know, this $10,000 credit limit on his report, maybe?
Chris, that's an interesting strategy. Would it help a fellow to be kind of a co-signer on one of these credit cards for a while?
Right. So this is what we call being an authorized user. So it's a way that he gets all the advantages and he doesn't have to necessarily take the time. I just have to say this, going to put out there. I don't want to be Dr. Doom. I don't want to be Dr. Gloom. But I don't like the idea of authorizing until after the words, I do. I'm being extremely conservative here, but I just think that's one of those rules that it's just good to follow after marriage. Then I would just go and get a joint credit card.
Okay. And when you do that, they're going to run your credit. They'd run both of us individually and then approve it based on the conglomeration of our
right. So
histories.
Yours is going to have a lot of weight, but you have a really good – you make a joint application. They'll run the credit report on both of you. But he's been using his card on a regular basis, paying it off monthly, he's going to actually have a nice little credit history. So you're going to be in a really good position to get a good card.
Okay. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much, Joy. Okay. Parsing this mystery wrapped in an enigma, saving for our own good, spending for, among other things, the good of the country. But who wants to spend when the economy's so unpredictable these days? I'm talking to people throughout the show about what we'll call the consumer conundrum. Enter now the man with expertise, an old friend, Chris Farrell, our official economics editor. Hi, Chris.
And Mr. Conundrum, it's great to be with you again.
So what do we have here? Interest rates are freakishly low. The guardians of these things at the Fed say they plan to keep things that way for maybe 2 years. Tempting, low interest rates. Maybe you want to borrow, but do people want to get more into hock during times like these?
Well, if I'm putting on my personal finance hat, if your finances are stretched, I don't care how low rates are. Don't borrow. Now, I know that puts me on one side of the conundrum, but I guess that's the conundrum.
And I might add, do you really need the thing that you're borrowing for? It's another good question to ask.
Yes.
And in fact, let's delve into this. Let's bring on Dan from Bar Harbor, Maine. Dan wrote in looking for some guidance on issues connected to this. Hello, Dan.
Hello.
So Bar Harbor, Maine in the summer?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm not just faking that. I'm actually from about 2 hours west of you.
Oh, you are.
Yeah.
You're a New Englander.
I am, in fact, a Mainer. Now, do you live in Bar Harbor itself? That's a pretty fancy place.
Well, I actually work in Bar Harbor, and I lived there for quite some time, but we've bought a home just about 30 miles north of Bar Harbor.
How long have you been in the house?
We've lived here about 7 years.
Wow. Now, that can be paradise. So what's your question, Dan?
Well, the problem I have is the home we're in is perfectly fine. We have a very low mortgage. We're actually able to save money. We have a young family we're raising. My wife, I think, wants to ball it all up, the savings, the equity, and everything, and throw it into a big, giant mortgage into another home.
Another home? A bigger home?
Okay.
A bigger home, which, you know, would be nice to have a little more space, but it's certainly not necessary. We've got all we need in a home right now.
So, Chris Farrell, it sounds like already we're in that question, the distinction between needing something and wanting something.
Correct.
That's right. You know, when I think about this and, you know, over a longer period of time, you know, a lot of this is, you know, we're talking about saving and we're talking about spending and, you know, taking advantage of these low interest rates. But we don't save to save. We save to spend. And so part of my, while you're talking, Dan, I was thinking about, boy, you have a small home, but it sounds like, you know, it meets your needs. It allows you to save. Over a longer period of time, you can spend on lots of things. Whereas you put all this money into a big house, that's what you may end up spending your money on. That may what defines your lifestyle.
But Dan, it may meet your needs. It doesn't sound like it meets the needs of your spouse. What's her name?
Her name's Megan.
And she's looking for something a little what? Better, bigger?
A little better, a little bigger. I attribute a lot of it to 7 straight years of watching this HGTV.
That cable channel is designed to be a desire-inspiring device. That's what it does for a living.
I see that.
Is she that way? She kind of likes to buy things?
Well, she's usually very responsible with our money. As a matter of fact, she's about 90% of the reason why we're in such a good position today. I'm just really worried that we're taking ourselves out of a comfortable situation and throwing ourselves into a situation that is going to be double the mortgage and just a lot more stress and strain on trying to raise our family.
Well, Dan, just tell me, what kind of work do you and your wife do?
I'm a seasonal chef in Bar Harbor, and my wife is, well, I guess she's sort of a seasonal worker, too. She's a fourth grade teacher.
And do you have some savings to help with the down payment if you're going to do this thing?
Yes, we do. You know, we could probably, you know, put together about $20,000. So it would take all of our equity and all of our savings and everything to get us into this $250,000 to $275,000 house and piece of land that she wants to put us on.
I can hear you sounding a bit concerned, Chris.
I'm very concerned because it's not just that you take on a bigger mortgage, but also the cost of maintenance is higher, the property casualty insurance is higher. I mean, all your costs increase. So what about a compromise? What about a remodeling? If there's a need for some extra space, or there's a need for an upgrade in the kitchen or some part of the house, you know, whether that might go toward improving the quality, the appearance, the livability of the place where you are, but it doesn't take on all this extra debt, all these extra costs.
Well, you're spot on with that.
Meanwhile, in a car on Route 1 near Bar Harbor, your wife has the radio on and is listening to this, and she's just been persuaded by all your reasoned arguments, and actually your problems are over.
Well, that sounds great. I've already went ahead and told her what's going on. Your producer was speaking to me one day, and I just didn't want to have her hear me in the background discussing our finances and our life with someone on the phone. So I told her, and now she's going around telling people, you know, Daniel's about to go on NPR and throw me under the bus.
Well, I do have a tiny recommendation for just a small bit of spending.
Mm-hmm.
You need to find a nice restaurant so you and your spouse can go and discuss this calmly and quietly. But when you come up for air and it's all worked out, please let us know how it went, okay?
I certainly will. And I thank you, gentlemen, very much for your time.
Thank you, Dan. Take care.
Bye-bye.